I hope you had a good week. We certainly enjoyed the Meekers' presentation about their trip through Africa. It's inspiring to see the way that our fellow brethren sacrificed there to live God's way. What a blessing it is to see that and understand what they go through. You know, the holy days are upon us. It won't be long before we'll be participating again in the holy day process. And certainly, you know, it is an inspiration to see from God's holy day plan the understanding that is conveyed by that plan to each of us, that, you know, it reveals how God is working with mankind at this time and what the future has to offer for all of us. And so we understand that this plan reveals how God wants mankind to be in his family, because the conclusion of the matter is that all have an opportunity to come to the knowledge of good and evil, to make the choice to follow God in God's way. And how wonderful that is. So in his perfect loving way, God at the proper time will indeed call mankind to their opportunity, give them each an opportunity to know God and his ways. For those of us that are called now, it is our chance to fulfill this opportunity that we've been given. So as we look forward to the Passover season, we realize the solemnity of the situation and the reality of the sacrifice that's been paid for us, and our need to respond to that commitment that we made at baptism to trust God, to look to God, to follow God's ways as he has commanded for us to do. We know in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, it talks about, for those of us that are called now, you know, now is our time of judgment, the time when God is looking at us, evaluating us, working with us to bring us to the knowledge, full knowledge of the truth, and give us an opportunity to become more like his son, and then be able to enter into his very family at the resurrection. So we're awed by that understanding, how wonderful that plan is. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it talks about the choice that we're to make. And God says for mankind to choose life, to make that choice, to choose life. There's only two choices. You choose God's way, or you disregard that way and you choose the other alternative, which is eternal death. And we certainly want to choose properly. So each year as we prepare for the Passover, we're encouraged to examine ourselves. Not that we aren't to examine ourselves as we go along, but a specific realization for a recommitment to our baptism, that we look at ourselves properly, we really see what progress we've made, how we stand in our relationship with God, and whether we're going forward in the way that we really should. Are we still on course? Are we still seeking with our hearts and minds to fulfill that commitment we made at baptism to follow God's way? So we must be sure that we judge ourselves properly. It is important that we look at ourselves properly. Sometimes we, with our human nature, disregard a lot of the things that tend to come into our minds that may be real concerns that we need to address. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our overall approach toward life, just the way that we conduct ourselves. So we must be sure that we judge ourselves to see our progress as well as our failings. Let's turn to Matthew, the seventh chapter. And let's begin in verse 1. 7 and verse 1. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you measure, you use, it will be measured back to you. So God is telling us that we need to judge ourselves, and we need to do it in a strenuous way, in a way that's real, in a way that is accurate, and based on God's assessment through His Spirit in us. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look at the plank that is in your own eye? In verse 5 it says, you hypocrites, first remove the plank that is in your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So, an attitude of approach that we need to look at ourselves, not be looking and thinking about, well, this guy does this and does that, and, you know, it's okay for me because of that type of thing. We need to look at ourselves sincerely and examine ourselves in that perspective, in that way. So as we judge ourselves, it should be considered a growth process. A growth process. And a growth process is a positive experience if we're looking at it from God's perspective. He's called us. He wants us to be in His family. And so we should take this opportunity to really look at it from that way, that it is a positive experience. Sometimes when we begin to look at ourselves and we really begin to see our faults and our weaknesses, we realize that, this is not right, this is not good, I need to change. And we get all down in the mouth and say, I can't make it, you know. But that's not the way God wants us to look at the situation. So this afternoon, let's look at some of the factors, I feel, that can help us examine ourselves and the perspective that we need to take in preparation for the Passover. The first thing I think that I want to emphasize, which I've already begun in this area, is to understand God is for us. God is for us. He called us. He has in mind a responsibility in the world tomorrow for us, a responsibility that we will help others. We will be those that are to encourage others, to show others the right way to live, and with our experiences, comfort others when they have difficulties and trials as well. But Satan wants us to become discouraged and to attempt to pass off the things that we see in our mind and not really take them to heart, and to go forward without truly examining ourselves the way that we really should. So we need to understand God is for us. Let's turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's look at verse 28, Romans, beginning in verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The emphasis that I've been making. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to conform to the image of the Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestinated, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So that positive perspective God wants to portray through His Word, that we look at and we understand and we support ourselves in that way. We look at it with God giving us the encouragement and the strength through His Spirit to see ourselves properly in a positive way, knowing that even though there are faults and flaws, that we have to face and address day by day, that he is willing to work with us. He's patient, he's merciful, he's loving, he's kind. The main thing is God wants us to recognize our flaws and weaknesses, as well as our strength, and to use these as a growth process, overcoming, fulfilling the quest that we have to become more and more like Jesus Christ each day. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here we come to an important point. For us to really do this properly, we must allow Christ to strengthen us. We must be asking God to help us in this analysis, this process, so that we see ourselves properly. Look for God's guidance. So we may need to maintain that positive approach in that process. The second factor or point or instruction that I would like to encourage you to understand is that we need to seek God's guidance and help. Definitely a key to a progressive, a positive, uplifting, and fruitful analysis for us to seek God's guidance and help. If we do it frivolously, without concern, without deep thought, without appreciation for what God is telling us that we need to do, then the results will not be what God wants. So seek God's guidance and help. And that means we have to have the right attitude, the right approach to that process. Let's go back to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Isaiah 66. And let's begin in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? So an exclamation of the point that, you know, God knows what's best for us. God is the creator, the sustainer, the provider of all things. And therefore, he is the one that can help us. He can help us. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So the attitude and approach should be respect and honor towards God and his word as we examine ourselves. So we need to understand that. To that man that has that attitude of humility, true yieldedness, a willingness to take to heart the things that we understand and are revealed to us, is the one that God can work with. In Matthew 18, let's begin in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in his midst. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. So we realize that humility is a very important process of a part of the process of our examination. We need to do that with humility. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. And let's go to verse 23. Excuse me. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. It says, thus says the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So you see God's concern for us that we approach this process with the right frame of mind and attitude. In Psalms 139, Psalm 139. And let's begin in verse 1. This shows the attitude that David had and his attitude. It says, O Lord, you search me and know me. So the attitude was that God would indeed search him and know him. He knew him. It says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. So the realization that God knows us. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. So God is with us. He's working with us. And we need to realize that. And do as David did. He sought God's work in his life to show him the things that he needed to understand. And in verse 23, he says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There is a way that we're to follow, a path that we're to follow, an approach that we're to follow, which is that path that Jesus Christ led us with as recorded in the Bible. So we need to look at that and compare ourselves to Christ's example, understanding that example, and seeking to see how well we're following that very example. Let's go back to Romans again. Romans, the third chapter, Romans 3, let's begin in verse 23. It says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to the demonstration at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who hath faith in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of what work? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So we realize that God understands that he's willing to forgive, or we understand that God is willing to forgive our sins and justify us on our faith and trust in God to do that, to forgive us when we repent, when we're willing to acknowledge that we have sinned against God. You know, Peter denied Christ three times there, right after his being taken by the authorities, when he was being brought before the authorities of the time. And he denied Christ when he was asked, did he know Jesus Christ or was he one of the disciples? And he said no, he didn't know Christ. But he repented. And we see how powerfully God used him in the future. He brought many people to the knowledge of God through Peter's efforts, through God working in Peter. Peter didn't had to come to repentance to understand that God was working with him and let him work through him to bring about the fruits that he brought about in his life. The next point that I wanted to bring out was we need to look at ourselves in that spiritual mirror, the spiritual mirror that God has established, which is God's Word. It reflects to us the way of righteousness that we need to be following. And we can look in that mirror and do we see ourselves in comparison to that reflection that we see? So we must look into that mirror. We must look into this Word to see if we can see ourselves and where we're falling short and where we have done well. Now let's look in the spiritual mirror. Let's turn back to James. James 1. I'm having a hard time thumbing these pages this day. James 1, and let's begin in verse 22. James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's like hearing the truth, understanding the truth by the word that we hear that's being reflected to us by the Bible. We're not to be hearers only, but then and deceive ourselves. For as anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. And we see that. And it goes on down in verse 27 to say, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans, widows in trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So we're encouraged to look in that mirror and see if we're doing the things that are necessary as reflected from God's Word, and compare ourselves to that. In 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So we understand that when we are lawless, we're sinning, and we're in debt to God because we've broken His covenant, His laws, and we need to repent. We need to see that and understand that. And we know 1 John 3:4, sin is indeed lawlessness, not keeping God's law. So Matthew 5:17, of course, is a scripture we're familiar with as well, where Christ said, let me go read it. I'm liable to misquote it. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Christ's example fulfilled the law. The way he lived, the instruction he provided in his word, fulfilled the law. And that is what we're to look at, the spiritual application of God's way of life that is revealed by the law, the Ten Commandments, as revealed by Jesus Christ. So we're to follow that way and do those things that are pleasing in God's sight. Some of the godly attributes are summarized in some of the following scriptures that we might look at to examine ourselves. Let's talk about some of these because they give a condensed summary as we look at God's word about how we should be conducting our lives. Galatians verse 5 and verse 22, one that we're familiar with, talking about the fruits of the Spirit being love and joy, peace and long-suffering and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As well as there in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 19 through 21, where it talks about the works of the flesh, the carnal way of thinking and being, and the contrast, which are we fulfilling? Are we seeking to fulfill the fruits of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh or the carnal nature? Of course, back in Exodus is God's law that's written. In Exodus 1, verse 1 through 17, God's law. And then it's expounded again in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in a spiritual sense. Christ's instruction to us. He says in many cases there, you've heard that it said, you know, you do this, but I say, really amplifying God's law, this is the way we need to look at it. So we need to go through the Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and look at the amplification that Christ gives of God's law, the way that he said that we should be conducting our lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, Corinthians 13, and let's begin in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a jangling or a clanging cymbal. I was starting to say jangling cymbal, but it's clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So we see the summarization that God gives here from Paul about God's law. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So we see an example of some of the scriptures we should review and see if we're showing the love in the way that it shows that these attributes show love. Another one is 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. 2 Peter. And 2 Peter. said 2 Peter 5 is 2 Peter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, so this is the way that we are to apply these things, is give diligence in doing this. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So these are the things that we're to do. These are some of these examples that we can use to help us see ourselves and think, am I doing these things the way God exhorts us to do? So the next attribute that I feel would be appropriate for us to use in our examination would be realize that we must admit our faults and our sins. Admit our guilt. When we strayed from the wrong way and we haven't fully repented, we need to admit our guilt, recognizing the flaws that we have, making it an opportunity for us to bear down on that and correct it in our lives. So admit our guilt when we see that. Acknowledge our sins against God as well as others. Our sin is against God. We made a covenant with Him to follow His ways. And so when we break His laws, we sin against God. Just as well as we may hurt others and sin against others when we break the laws as well. But God is the one that sin is against in that respect, in that way. So when we sin and we break the covenant we made with God at baptism, we need to admit that fault and ask God in a repentant attitude to change us and help us. Continuing to sin without repentance causes God to cut off His relationship with us. So if we're not willing to accept the fact that we're sinning and we continue to do those things, that we're cutting off our relationship with God. Let's look back at Isaiah the 59th chapter. Isaiah 59. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord is not shortened. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ears heavy, that they cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. So if we want to have a close relationship with God, we have to fess up when we make mistakes. We have to see that we've caused a relationship problem between us and God, as well as maybe with others. So recognize our sins, admit our sins, our faults, and ask God's guidance and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we must come to see our carnal ways. You know, that's hard to do sometimes. We can justify ourselves in many, many ways. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8, verse 6, says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So we can't continue to allow our carnal minds to lead us when they go contrary to God's way. And as well, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, or 16 and verse 25, it says in God's word in Proverbs there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. These things lead us in the wrong direction, and they bring us to the point where we will lose our eternal life. You know, David sinned mightily before God. But he had a tremendous attitude that he was willing to admit his sins, confess his sins, and with zeal then change his way of life. Let's look at Psalms, the 51st Psalm. I got to get going the right direction here. Psalm 51. You know, we must choose to let our carnal mind lead us, not to let our carnal mind lead us, rather, is what I'm really trying to say. We've got to understand that we are acting carnally and then submit to God's way. So in Psalm 51, let's read about David's situation here. The chief musician, he talks about a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So here's the introduction to that psalm. It was Nathan that had to come to David to show him his sins. He didn't recognize it. He didn't see it for what it really was. His adultery and his death of her husband, Bathsheba's husband. But he didn't see it. He didn't understand that he had sinned mightily before God. So here he repents and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression and wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression. And my sin I always see before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." So here was David's attitude. In verse 6 it says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." So if we're willing to show truth in the inward parts, God is willing to work with us, to help us and strengthen us as we go forward day by day. Let's look at verse 10 then. He says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So the attitude is, once you see yourself, understand the weaknesses, the flaws that we have, to repent of those and ask God for a new spirit, a right spirit, his spirit, to guide and direct and purge us and help us to follow his ways rather than our own ways. He goes on to say in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you." And certainly in our case, knowing our calling, the privilege we've been given to be first fruits, that's the case in our situation, because we have an opportunity to affect others in the world tomorrow, to help them see themselves and to conduct themselves in the way that God intends, to change their lives so that they can be a part of his family as well. So what an opportunity we have to look forward to the future and see, if I transform myself by letting God work with me, yield to him and let him guide me and direct me and convert me, that I can be used to help others in the future as well. Let's go on down to verse 16. Might as well get a couple more verses here. It says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it you. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So we see that the attitude is important to God, a contrite spirit and a heart that's really yielded to God's way, to seek to fulfill his guidance in his way. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, First Corinthians 10. And we need to ask God's guidance and strength to see ourselves in the proper way and to help us. First Corinthians 10, let's go to verse 3. It says, well, I guess I must be in the wrong place. Maybe not. I think it must be 2 Corinthians 10. Let me see if that's right. I think it is. Sometimes the mind doesn't do what you're thinking. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. This is what I'm looking for. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The realization is that we have an enemy that's spiritual. Satan the devil. He doesn't want us to succeed. He puts wrong thoughts in our hearts and minds. He allows us to not see ourselves. You know, he darkens our inner parts, if we allow it, with wrong concepts and attitudes and so forth. Satan is our enemy. So we need to understand that and see that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So we have help available to us. Yes, Satan is at war with us. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we see that God is with us and it provides the strength for us to do that if we yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to guide and direct our thoughts. So we need to recognize wrong thoughts and attitudes of heart that can lead us in the wrong way. So our examination should help us in that respect, in that way. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 28, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup of the Passover that we're talking about here. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourselves or ourselves, we would be judged. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged, rather. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So we allow God's examination to chasten us, to help us see ourselves properly and make the corrections we need to grow and overcome and do what God intends. One more scripture, Isaiah 55th chapter. Isaiah 55. Let's begin at verse 6. Says Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we see we have to transform our way of thinking to be more in line with God's way, to be in line with His way of thinking. We will never be able to have the high thoughts that He certainly has, but we certainly can have His Spirit to guide us and direct us in overcoming the world's ways of thinking and being. That's Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9. The fifth factor that I wanted to bring out today is that we need to plan to grow in God's ways. That's what an examination is all about, is growing in God's ways. God wants us to seek after the example of Jesus Christ, to follow that, to seek the perfection that Christ exhibited and revealed to us. We know we'll never really get there completely, but we should be moving in that direction, becoming closer to the reality of the example of Jesus Christ. In Luke, the 13th chapter, there's a concept here that I'd like to talk about a little bit that Christ brings out. Luke 13, and verse 1. There were present, this is 13, verse 1, there were present that season some who told him, the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such a thing? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Are those eight on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were the worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And then Christ goes into something a little bit further that is, I feel, connected. He said he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree, fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. So the emphasis here is that, you know, when you repent, God expects there to be fruit come from that repentance, a change of heart and mind, so that we're looking at God's way in a different way. We're in a repentant, a yielded attitude, willing to change and grow. So growth is to be a process that comes forth from repentance. By these fruits you shall know them. The fruits that we produce once we repent and change. Certainly we can slip, we make mistakes, that type of thing, but it should be a continual process of wanting to change, grow, see our faults, repent, grow. That's what God wants. He wants us to be in His family, be those that are examples to others as we go forward. In Luke 3, back just a little ways, Luke 3 and verse 8. Luke 3 and verse 8. A statement that amplifies what I was trying to express here Luke 3 and verse 8. It says, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So we can't make excuses that, you know, we rely on, just like at that time, when they were chastised and corrected. They would say, you know, we have Abraham as our father. We can't say, you know, I have this excuse or that excuse or whatever. We need to allow God to work with us. Accept what God's word reveals and work with that. Let's look at Galatians. One more scripture here and then. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians 6. And let's begin in verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So we're blessed as long as we're willing to commit ourselves and stay committed to God and His ways, to make changes in our lives that will help us grow and overcome, to see our faults, our weaknesses, but as well see our strengths, to use those strengths to help other people, to encourage others, to grow personally as well. The final point that I wanted to make, the last factor that I feel is helpful, would be to be willing to step out in faith. We can see our faults, we can see our problems, but unless we do, like I pointed out a little earlier, are willing to step out in faith and make changes, our efforts go for naught. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 1st chapter, the faith chapter. Hebrews 11, and let's look at verse 1, talking about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we need to step out in faith. We hope for growth. We hope for God's coming kingdom. We look forward to those things. And that's what we need to step out with, that being our goal, our being our motivator, our encouragement. God is for us, and He wants us to grow and overcome. Think on these things. They're evident. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So they had faith. They had confidence. They saw in the future what was coming, just as we're able to see what's coming when the Holy Day plan was opened to our minds and we're able to comprehend that, comprehend what God is doing, what He's doing here on this earth. So we must believe in our hearts and minds that we need to be changing, we need to be growing, we need to be taking this seriously. You know, your definition of faith may vary, but it is, in my opinion, just a simple definition, the way I would look at it, it's a confidence that what God has said in His Word, He will perform. You know, we know it's going to happen. It's positive. We believe that. So it should stir us up to want to go forward, because it is such an awesome thing that God has in mind for man, His kingdom to come here upon this earth. And in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So have the confidence and the courage and the strength to step out in faith, doing what God intends. So in summary, as we examine ourselves in preparation to keep the Passover, let's be sure we take advantage of the opportunity to give, that we've been given to grow in God's grace and His knowledge and His righteousness as we go forward. Understanding God is for us, that He really wants us to grow and overcome, to be in His family. Seeking God's guidance and help as we see our weaknesses as we go day to day, staying close to God, looking at ourselves in God's spiritual mirror in a way that reflects what we need to change and grow based on God's ways, admitting our sins and our faults, our guilt, planning to grow in the ways that God has established, and stepping out in faith to do what God wants from us, converted children that He will have in His family.